Welcome to the Farm Strong Live Well, Farm Well podcast. I'm John McBeth, and today we're going to learn about how to get a better night's sleep. We've invited farmers to send us questions about sleep, and our guest today, sleep expert Matt Beattie, CEO of Instep, is going to help us with the answers. Welcome, Matt.
Thanks, John.
Now, Matt, farmers have told us that getting a good night's sleep can be a real challenge in farming. So let's start with the big picture. What actually is sleep?
Well, most of us know that we all need sleep to refresh the body, but we also need it to refresh the mind. We have evolved from the plains of Africa as human beings, working on a 16-8 ratio, 16 hours awake, 8 hours sleep. And if you want more than 16, then you're going to have to grab the time from somewhere, and that comes from the 8 hours. And yes, you can do that for one day, perhaps 2 days a week, but not necessarily 2 days together.
So, very important. We'll go through some of the other questions now about sleep. Here's a good one. I have trouble turning off my mind at night. I go to bed tired but toss and turn all night, thinking about things to do or finances, etc. Then I wake up tired and around it goes. How do I switch off so I can sleep?
Great question. This anxiety is probably caused by insomnia. Now, insomnia is something that happens when we don't easily fall asleep, perhaps after 20 minutes of putting our head on the pillow. Or, as sometimes happens as we get older in life, we wake at 2:30 in the morning and we fail to get back to sleep easily again because we're processing. And this can be dealt with quite easily. Now, processing is generally either a back of the mind issue or a front of the mind issue. Back of the mind is long-term stuff. For instance, do I put mum and dad into a home and how do I talk that through with my brothers and sisters? And front of the mind issues are things that we have to deal with pressing. How do I settle that bill? They've rung twice and my 16-year-old daughter didn't come home last night. There are things that I have to worry about right now. So we recommend that people write their stuff down and then they write out the list, put it in bullet form, and then ask themselves a question when they're looking at each of those bullets. What evidence is there for that thought to be true? And if there is no evidence, if it's just the opinion based on someone else, stick it way down the list, make it number 10. But if it's a big one, give it number 1. Then write out the list again. And then say to yourself, brain, I've done what I need to do. Now leave me alone, I'm going to sleep.
You may well have partially answered this next question, which says, I fall asleep okay, but I toss and turn all night. I wake up feeling tired. What can I do to improve my sleep?
Yeah, this person is probably only in light sleep. They've never really got into deep or dreaming sleep. And you need deep sleep to refresh the body. And therefore, that tiredness will prevail when they wake up. And you need dreaming sleep to refresh the brain to make you sharp and on the money the next morning.
Do things like weight, genetics, gender, age really have anything to do with quality of sleep?
Well, genetics less so, but those others are part of what doctors call the triumvirate of health, good nutrition, physical fitness, and good sleep. And weight, gender, and age have a big part to play. So weight gain, for instance, if someone's already heavy, then sleep apnea might be a problem, and weight therefore adds to the sleep apnea problem. And sleep apnea occurs when there's too much flesh in and around the neck area, causing the airway to be inhibited either in air or out air. And as a result of that, the brain goes into emergency action and wakes up the body. Also, as we get less sleep, and that'll often happen as part of our lifestyle change, our body produces less of a hormone called leptin, and we need leptin because that's an appetite suppressant. So if we get less of it, we're going to eat more, and therefore we put on weight. And so that's an issue. Next, perhaps interestingly, statistically, the majority of insomniacs are women, and also women are much more prone, because of menopausal change with their hormones, to sleeping disorders like restless legs. That happens a lot, and if someone's kicking around in bed, then they're going to wake up their partner. So sleeping disorders times one becomes sleeping disorders times two. And naturally, John, as we get older in life, our sleeping patterns change. About 60 to 90% of us over the age of 65 move into a much lighter sleep mode. And sometimes grandpas are often accused of waking up at 5:30 in the morning and doing the lawns.
Yes, I haven't quite got to mowing the lawns, but I do wake up a bit early. Here's another one from Russell, who asks, I seem to go to sleep at around 8-ish, wake up at 4:30, which surely is a decent amount of Zeds, but I seem to always wake up tired. I've had blood tests and take the old men's multi, so I know I'm not low on anything. So what's up?
Yeah, Russell's done quite a lot already, which is really good to rule some stuff out. But what probably hasn't happened, the indicators to me are that Russell is only light sleeping, so we need to get him checked, probably at a sleep clinic as to why he's only light sleeping. For instance, if Russell is a big guy and he's overweight, then the possibility of obstructive sleep apnea is probably there. And the only way that you're really going to move on that is either to lose weight or for Russell to get a machine, which is called the continuous positive airway pressure machine, which helps keep the airways open. There are some suggestions here that things need to be checked out by a doctor at a sleep clinic.
Here's one from Michelle who asks, why do poor sleepers wake up at 3 a.m. and then toss and turn for a few hours before getting up?
Yeah, well, this may be a processing issue, and Michelle needs to own her own brain before she goes to bed, and writing out that list and committing her worries to paper often helps. And if that doesn't fully work, she should get a professional to correct that faulty thinking that might be going on and help establish a new routine for her bedtime.
Something similar maybe from Cara. How do I get back to sleep once I have woken at 4 a.m? My mind just races and tries sorting out a million problems, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Cara, first of all, get out of bed. If your bedroom is upstairs, go downstairs and start your pre-night routine again. If that involves having a cup of, let's say, warm milk, or if that involves reading for 15 minutes, do that. But you need to convince your brain that you're going back to sleep again, so restart your night routine, whatever it is. So no TV, no smartphone, no Facebook, nothing which will stop you having that chance to create a sleep cycle. If it's quite bad, go and have a hot bath and trick your body into getting on the sleep wave again.
From what you've said then, Matt, does what you dream affect your quality of sleep?
Well, it does. When we're young, particularly, nightmares do affect the quality of sleep, because children may not return to sleep until things have stabilised. Night terrors are a good example of that. Even when, as adults, nightmares often cause us to not sleep well again for a period of time. And also the types of dreams that we have. Sometimes most of us are chasing something, and it's often chasing an elusive thought based around the hidden emotion. So what we dream can affect the quality of sleep. We can wake up quite tired because we have been belting around in the bed. If you've ever watched a dog, like a Labrador, for instance, when they're dreaming, their feet are going at 9 to the dozen because they are racing after cats or racing after rabbits. And sometimes we humans do the same thing.
I wake up so sore, especially in my lower back and neck. Even when I get over 8 hours sleep, the soreness makes it as though I've had none. The bed is only a few years old, so not blaming the bed.
Yeah. Whilst the bed may only be a few years old, sometimes, you know, as our bodies line it, some of us are bigger than others, we do develop valleys and mountains in the bed, so we need to check. Sometimes that mattress needs to be flipped. Also, the pillows, we need to be checked, because the angle of our neck can affect soreness of neck, soreness of back as well. I would also encourage an individual, if they are sleeping on their back, to try and sleep on their side. The obstructive sleep apnea issue often forces people to sleep on their back, which opens the airway, which causes snoring, which causes problems. And if we can sleep on our side, then it can make a difference. You know, years ago, Grandma used to sew a tennis ball into Grandpa's pajamas at the back. So every time he fell onto his back, his body naturally forced itself onto its side. There's much to be said about sleeping on your side.
Oh, well. Are there natural supplements or sleep aids that can help you get a better night's sleep?
Well, there are. I can think of two or three at the moment. Tart cherry concentrate. It helps to release melatonin naturally in the body. I can think of magnesium tablets, which assist in providing chemical stability and therefore act in a form of natural sedative. I can think of various melatonin itself as a food additive that really is helping people in that sort of pre-phase for night, start their night routine and to get themselves on that sleep wave a whole lot earlier. You may have heard of valerian. Valerian is a plant and they take the root from it and use that. It's a form of sedative. It acts on the brain and the nervous system. We just have to be careful that people don't get into a always using the stuff. It's generally you go to it when things are desperate rather than rely on it from a everyday point of view.
Some people enjoy a little dram before they go to bed every night.
Yeah.
Is that helpful?
Alcohol's okay in small forms. You know, the daily intake for alcohol for men should be no more than 2 or 3 standard drinks and women 2. And if we drink within 2 hours of bed, the alcohol affects our sleep pattern. It actually, as a depressant, it affects the deep sleep quite a lot and also affects dreaming sleep. Whereas a stimulant like caffeine or nicotine only affects deep sleep. So if you smoke and drink a lot before bed, you can actually provide a whole lot of harm and trouble for yourself in trying to attain a good night's sleep.
Johnny asks, what are the signs of not having a good night's deep sleep?
Yeah, well, the obvious ones are yawning, grumpiness, lack of focus. People can't multitask easily, although a lot of men are accused of that by women every day. forgetfulness, slow decision-making. Those are all signs that things aren't in the fast lane as much as they should be.
I have a partner, is another question. I have a partner who wakes me up with their snoring. Short from sleeping in the other room, which I occasionally do, she or he says, are there any hints to reduce snoring?
Actually, it's a really interesting point. The Victorians have a real impact on society about sleeping in separate rooms, and there's much to be gained from that. But the question does beg whether or not her partner has obstructive sleep apnea. You know, 30% of men do have it, and you don't have to be overweight to have the problem. Even the skinny guys can have this problem. It's essentially a blockage of the airway, often caused by too much tissue in the neck area. So I would get an assessment done. General practitioners are able to refer. Weight loss can help, and getting sleeping on the side, that's a good start.
You mentioned this a little bit earlier on, but the question is, I've read that you should avoid using electronic devices just before bed. Why is this?
Yeah. All of these devices, and it includes TVs, John, so smartphones, laptops, etc., iPads, TVs, all emit blue light. Now, light, as part of our natural cycle, is part of our wake cycle, and darkness is part of our sleep cycle. So if blue light, which comes off these devices, is interfering, in other words, if you're checking Facebook the last thing before you go to bed, or if you're watching TV for that hour before you go to bed, or even worse, if you've got a TV in the bedroom, then you are essentially getting light passed through the optic nerve down to a sleep-wake switch at the base of your brain, which is called the suprachiasmatic nucleus, and that is the master switch for sleep and wake. And you are essentially telling your body, wake up, stay alert.
Wow.
Yeah.
Get rid of that TV out of the bedroom.
Yeah. You know, some people find TV helpful to get into sleep. And I'm saying, well, don't change your routine. But not everyone's like that.
I'm doing a job when there just aren't enough hours in the day, particularly during busy times. What's wrong with sacrificing a few hours sleep?
Well, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul. 99.5% of us need those 8 hours. Now, a sleep cycle is 90 minutes long, and you need at least 5, that'll be 7.5 hours, to get you to a good point for a good night's sleep. Problem a lot of us have is that we wake up out of deep sleep, so we wake up grumpy. We need to wake up out of dreaming sleep, because dreaming sleep is, from a brainwave point of view, is much closer to light sleep or even being awake. So therefore, we come out of it in a much more fluid and contained and composed way.
Some interesting questions. If I want to change my sleeping habits, how long will it take to change?
Yeah, well, we need to establish a routine. So behaviour becomes a habit, so we need to change our behaviour, but it'll take somewhere between 10 days and 2 weeks, and you need to stick to it. You may strike success early, so don't stop the routine because you think, I've cracked it, because the brain will come back at you and say, hey, I've got you. So it takes about 2 weeks, and then eventually the brain gives up and says, oh, well, they're into a new habit. I need to move on elsewhere.
Well, following on from that, about sleeping habits, a question here, how can I develop a sleep routine?
John, the brain likes a regular and frequent routine. In fact, it needs a routine for new behaviours and thus habits to develop. This can take at least 10 days to 2 weeks for a new routine to bed in and show the brain who's in charge. So going to bed at, say, 10 p.m. rather than 11 p.m. is a new routine and will take a while for the brain to accept the change. Thus, you might be awake until your old sleep time for some of those days until the new pattern sticks. But it will eventually stick and you need to stay the course. One of the other things we recommend is that you keep your time that you wake up as the same or close to that same time, even if it's by an hour, even on your day off. The brain likes routine and we need to show who's in charge.
We've covered a lot of information here, Matt, and I think finally maybe what's your main message about sleep?
Establish a routine, stick to it, protect your right to sleep. If you go to a party on a Sunday night, for instance, you know you've got an early start the next day, protect your right to sleep. Say to your partner, hey, I need to go home. Enjoy yourself, but I need to go home because I need to get my 7.5, 8 hours sleep in. And it needs to be good quality sleep. I need dreaming sleep, I need deep sleep, and I need not to worry about where things are at. So I don't need to write my stuff down, so I don't need to wake up at 2:30 in the morning. I'm not going to have any more alcohol, so I won't have to get up for a wee at 2:30 in the morning. I'm not going to smoke, and I'm going to enjoy myself because I know that a composed, steady mind will give me a good night's sleep.
Look after yourself.
Absolutely.
Thank you for tuning into this podcast. For more information and resources on how you can live well to farm well, visit the Farmstrong website on farmstrong.co.nz. Thanks, Matt.
Cheers. Thanks, John.